28. Eleanor shuddered and bounced over the uneven ground. The rumble seats slammed up against Eli's butt again and again. Every third or fourth bounce, it caught his tailbone and jarred his whole spine. The headlights brushed against something shiny in the night, and a car loomed out of the darkness. A red 1975 Dodge Dart Sport. Harry swerved away from it, and Eli glimpsed what looked like an old, open-topped touring car, maybe a Maxwell, parked just beyond the Dodge. And then they both vanished into the darkness. "What are those doing out here?" She ignored his question and swung Eleanor around a World War II-era Jeep with a white star on its side. The headlights lit up car after car. There were dozens, maybe hundreds of them. Eli saw Chevys and Tuckers and Dodges. He saw another Model A that could have been Eleanor's twin by a skeletal tree, and right next to it a 69 Mustang that was either deep blue or black. An old Indian motorcycle leaned on its kickstand in front of the Mustang. Eleanor rolled past all of them and slowed to a stop. Harry flipped a few switches, and the engine sputtered twice before stopping. She sat with her hands on the wheel and took in a slow breath. Maybe a mile or two away, a faint glow outlined a cluster of buildings. "So," asked Eli, "where are we? Or when?"
"California. The second week of March, 1886, the town's called Hourglass."
"Never heard of it."
"You wouldn't have."
She flexed her fingers twice on the wheel.
"It's a little boomtown, one of the last. 6 months old now, all but abandoned in another 7.
"Gold?" Her hat settled back on her head.
"History travelers."
"What?" She slid out of the car and tugged her coat closed around her.
"This is where we all meet," she said. "The second week of March, 1886, in Hourglass. It was a boom town because at one point hundreds of people poured through the town, some of them more than once."
He stepped out of the car. As his eyes adjusted, he recognized the shapes of over 100 cars around them, probably closer to 200. They were parked in loose, uneven rows and clusters. Harry walked past them all, headed for Hourglass. Eli took a few steps to catch up and fell in beside her.
"So the whole town is searchers?"
"Not the whole town," she said. "There are almost 200 residents, actual citizens of 1886. I think some of them are a bit confused by things they glimpse or overhear this week, but for the moment all they really see is cash on the barrelhead. And by the time they start to think about it, the week's over, and we'll all be gone."
"Never to return?"
"Of course we return. It's not much of a clubhouse if you can only visit it once."
"But you said it's just for 1 week."
"Correct. And when you come back on Monday, or Sunday night."
The low moon cast a dim half-light across the desert, enough to see the basic landscape and the loose path Harry followed toward the town. Eli could make out tracks from boots, shoes, and even a few pairs of sneakers. He saw branches and stones that he stepped past, but the stark moonlight shadows could easily hide rocks, holes, or who knew what. Plenty of things to trip on and break an ankle.
"Have you been here before?"
Harry stuck her hands deep into her coat pockets.
"Yes,"
she said.
9 years ago. This was our wedding reception and our honeymoon. A party with all our friends that lasted 5 whole days.
He looked at the town. They'd cut almost a third of the distance already.
"All of history, and you had your honeymoon here?"
"Mind your tongue, Mr. Teague. You're speaking of the happiest days of my life."
"Sorry."
She leaned her head back and looked up at the stars.
"Truth be told, I don't remember much of it. I drank too much, slept too little, and spent far too much time."
She paused, gazed ahead at the buildings, and tugged the point of her hat down to shadow her face in the moonlight.
"Yes?"
"It was my honeymoon, Mr. Teague. Don't be an ass."
He chuckled. So did she.
"To answer your question, though, we had it here for the same reason we're here now. It's safe."
"Safe?"
"The faceless men won't come here. It's the one place and time in American history we don't need to worry about them."
"Because of the, what did you call it, the iteration?"
"What?"
"This is where the second iteration is." She nodded.
"The first time around, the second iteration, and the last paradox."
"Are they wormholes or something?"
"I beg your pardon.
These things, are they wormholes or some kind of space-time event, or they're saloons, Eli? What?
Harry stepped around a large patch of dry grass that reached up close to her thigh.
Hourglass has three saloons. Well, two saloons. The first time around in the last paradox. The second iteration is more of a public house, really.
Three saloons with time-related names all in the same town, said Eli. That's a lucky find.
Not really. Abraham Porter created the whole town.
Porter from the chain?
The very same.
How'd he manage that?
He cheated a bit. Set up some long-term trusts and investments, pushed for certain trade routes, hired a dozen different people over about a decade.
That must have been a lot of work.
Not when you can use the road. Took him about 2 days altogether, and three tanks of water.
And it doesn't strike anyone as a little, I don't know, weird, that a town of 200 people has three bars that all have related names? He shook his head. Hell, has the word paradox even been invented yet? Harry raised an eyebrow.
Is that meant to be a joke?
Seriously, doesn't anyone else notice how weird it is? The town, the bar names, all that? I mean, if not now, some historian must have stumbled across it in books or old journals or something.
Lots of strange named things out here in the desert.
Like what? Harry pointed off toward the horizon while they walked.
The town I was born in is about 85, maybe 90 miles that way.
Yeah?
Shame.
The town is called Shame? She nodded, her arms stretched out at her sides, her frock coat lifted up, flapping like a set of awkward wings.
I'm 7 months old right now, almost exactly.
Ever tempted to drive over and see yourself? Harry shook her head and let the coat settle around her.
I'm not there. Mother and Pa left right after I was born. Some trouble in the town or something. They never talked about it.
She jerked her thumb back toward the parked cars.
I think they're on a train pulling into Indianapolis right about now.
Eli nodded and kicked at a rock. It skittered through the dirt ahead of them and vanished into the shadows. So, 1886? I think right now my family is in Sanders.
What was their trade?
No idea, he said. But I don't think they were any good at it.
Why do you say that?
Because if they'd made any money, they would have left. The loose path widened out. Hoofprints and wheel ruts appeared. Eli pictured people coming into town on foot, on horseback, in wagons pulled by oxen or mules, and all being funneled onto the same trail. An old unlit shed appeared first, distinguishing itself from the shadowed and silhouetted buildings. A few more steps and a large two-story barn loomed behind it. Even from here, the building smelled of smoke and hot metal. A rusted anvil sat out front. The trail became a dirt road, which Harry led them down. They entered Hourglass with what looked like a blacksmith's shop on one side of them and a simple church on the other. A wooden cross had been nailed above the door, and on top of the small steeple, a metal one gleamed and glinted in the moonlight. They passed a few houses that ranged from bare, weather-beaten shacks to quaint homes with curtains in the windows. Harry paused at an intersection. A quiet saloon stood on one corner, its doors pointed out toward the main street. Eli saw people walk by the entrance inside and heard the murmur of several voices. A striped circle of red, yellow, and black decorated the window, the colors made bolder by the dark curtains behind them. Eli looked again. Not a circle. A snake, swallowing its own tail.
The last paradox,
Harry said. Are we going in? She shook her head.
Not our time.
What's that mean?
This,
she said,
is where everyone ends up. Everyone who makes it.
Makes it?
To the end. Once you know the search is over, you come to Hourglass one final time and go to the last paradox.
Why?
Because that's the goal Abraham gave us,
she sighed.
To make it till the end.
Harry moved on. She crossed the street and continued down the main road. Eli followed. So the people in there have found the dream?
Perhaps. Or it's just a few locals enjoying the only saloon, not packed with strangers.
Couldn't we just go in now? Find out where the dream's hidden? What's going to happen? She glanced back.
Of course not.
Why not?
Because what would you think if we went in and you weren't already in there?
Why wouldn't I be in... Oh.
She nodded once and continued on without saying more. The next block had a few more residences, a general store, and what looked like a town hall, or maybe a courthouse. A barber shop squatted next door, almost identical to the one in Independence, although the red and white post on this one made Eli think of old painted tin toys. It had a wide base, and he wondered if wind-up mechanisms were a common thing yet. Hourglass was bigger than Eli had first thought, but not by much. Looking ahead, he guessed 50 or 60 buildings made up the whole town. Most of them had wooden walls, but he saw some mortared stone here and there and even a few brick chimneys. Three roads altogether, one east to west, two north to south, like a two-barred cross.
"Where are the horses?" he asked. "In barns and stables, I'd imagine."
"Shouldn't there be some tied up in front of the saloons?"
"Why? In case someone needs one. Then they'd go out to the stables and get it. Besides,"
she waved a hand at the street,
"you've seen what it can be like with horses passing through. Why would someone want to keep them in front of their business?"
A man in a long leather duster walked by on the far side of the street, a rifle balanced on his shoulder. He watched Eli and Harry as they approached. His free hand reached up to touch the brim of his hat.
"Gentlemen," he said. "Evening."
As his hand came down, they saw the star-encircled badge on his lapel. Eli nodded, then reached up to mimic the man's gesture. On a whim, he lifted his derby a few inches off his head.
"Good evening,"
the man grunted in reply. He gave Harry a second glance, but that was all. Her coat hid the shape of her body, and the broad point of her hat hid her face with shadows. He walked past them and headed off toward the last paradox.
"That's Blinovich," Harry said. "Keeps everyone in line if we get too rowdy. Thursday night is going to be very rough on him, if memory serves."
After a few minutes of strolling, they came to the town's other intersection. On the far corner stood the tallest building Eli'd seen in Hourglass, a good three stories high. It had swinging doors set into the corner of the building, just like a classic Western saloon. Music and voices and laughter spilled out into the street through those doors. Across from it, going off the two wooden stairs flanking the door, sat a squat police station. More likely a sheriff's office, Eli corrected himself. Were police even a thing at this point in history? Diagonally across from the sheriff's office, to Eli's left, the stone and mortar block of a bank stared over at the saloon with barred windows. To his right, facing the bank, sat another square, two-story building. A carved sign hung from the upper balcony. Two identical bottles, side by side. Harry paused to look over at the saloon, then stepped toward the blocky tavern.
"Come on,"
she said.
"I'll buy you a drink."
Eli looked at the sign. "The second iteration?"
"Yes."
He glanced at the saloon. "And that's the first time around?"
"Very good, Mr. Teague."
"Sounds like they're having a real party over there."
"They are. I told you it lasted most of the week."
Eli furrowed his brow. His eyes leaped from Harry to the corner doors of the saloon. "That's your wedding reception?"
"Yes."
"Going on right now?"
"It started yesterday,"
she said. She tipped her chin back over her shoulder, back down the street, back toward the dozens and dozens of parked cars.
"I brought us in on Tuesday night."
There had been another Model A parked amongst the cars. Another 1929 business coupe. Same year? Same model. Same car. Eli pointed across the street.
"You're over there right now, younger you." "Yes,"
said Harry.
"Me and Christopher, John, Alice, James, I think maybe even Truss. Pretty much everyone who traveled the road is over there drinking and eating and confusing the hell out of the piano player with song requests."
She blushed.
"Please pardon my vulgarity.
I'll live, somehow." He looked over it the first time around. "Am I over there?" Harry gave him an odd look, head to toes and back.
"Do you remember being there?"
"No, but I figured maybe I end up there. Later." She shook her head.
"That's not how it goes, usually."
"Why?"
"Come inside,"
she said, gesturing at the door into the second iteration.
"I'll explain what I can, and I'm sure somebody here can explain anything I can't."